Welcome to another episode of the Alter Your Health podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, hello and welcome. We value your time and energy and hope you receive a lot from tuning in. As a listener-supported show, we rely on you to help us grow. We'd be so grateful if you share the show or a favorite episode with a friend or fellow health seeker. Living a healthy and nourishing life doesn't always come easily, especially in today's crazy world. But that's why we're here, doing what we love, hopefully helping you along with information and inspiration that fuels your health pursuits. If you're looking for more support, consider subscribing to the monthly meal guide membership. Just $11 per month gets you access to a weekly meal guide filled with healing and delicious whole food plant-based recipes, along with invitations to our regularly scheduled support calls where we can connect, answer questions, and keep the good vibes flowing in our healthy lives. You can learn more at www.alter.health/meal-guides. And if you're looking for more in-depth support, check out our other services. We offer both one-on-one consulting as well as educational programs. All of our current offerings are listed at www.alter.health. Our ultimate goal is to empower you to heal yourself. Keeping with that theme, let's dive into today's show.
Hello and welcome to this week's Medicinal Monday on the Alter Your Health podcast. I'm Dr. Susanna Alter.
And I'm Dr. Ben.
And we're both naturopathic doctors who empower individuals to heal themselves with whole food, plant-based nutrition and mind-body medicine.
And we've got another really important and empowering message today on the podcast, episode today on the podcast. We're going to be talking all about the liver, of course, and sometimes I feel like we're kind of a broken record, at least when we're talking with our clients and community and the Thrive on Plants program at Alter Health. You know, we're talking about the liver. It all comes back to the liver. And we're going to be talking about why that is, why everything in with regard to our health all comes back to the liver. And of course, why our liver is really under attack in our modern toxic world and what we can do about it. Of course, most importantly. So very important information and hopefully, like I said, empowering and helpful because let's face it, when it comes to the liver and just kind of health information in general, there's a lot of overwhelming things that might be confusing. Our intention, of course, is to help you understand more deeply, help you really comprehend what's going on in your body and not just taking our words for it, but having more of an experiential depth of understanding your anatomy, your physiology, your functioning, and of course, how to be in balance and feel that balance in your body.
Yes. Yes. And to put this conversation into context for some people, you know, I feel like it's common for people to kind of forget about their liver, right? Because the liver is kind of quiet unless it's really angry, right? It has to get really inflamed for us to see blood values go out of normal. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, to see stuff on imaging. And so I always like to point out that there's a lot of conditions, a lot of symptoms that can actually kind of hint at a liver that is under functioning, that is sluggish. And I want to list them out here.
Sure. And in a nutshell, it's pretty much everything, pretty much everything, every common symptom from weight gain to cholesterol, to, you know, inflammatory systems, to immune suppression, to like, you know, skin issues, so many things.
Hormonal again, issues is a huge one.
Yeah. But yes. What else fits into that category of symptoms or conditions?
Well, you just rattled off a ton of them.
Yeah.
But the main ones I do think of first are hormonal issues. Always have to look at the liver. Skin issues. Always have to look at the liver. Stubborn weight that isn't responding to a whole food plant-based lifestyle. Always have to look at liver issues. Same with stubborn cholesterol, like you said. Sleep issues, mysterious sleep issues as well. So yeah, the list goes on.
Yeah. And like you also said, conventional medicine, blood work, laboratory tests, imaging, as you probably know better than anyone, not really the best thing at picking up the subtleties of our physiology. Usually the messages are louder, that lead to those, elevated liver enzymes, which is really, by the way, just a marker of our liver cells dying. So elevated liver enzymes, ALT, AST, GGT, these kind of things, are an indication of kind of acute liver damage. And of course, yeah, we'd certainly want to avoid that, but it doesn't really get the picture of chronic liver stress, what we might otherwise call sluggishness of the liver, stagnation in the liver, or of course, fatty liver. And maybe that leads us to kind of, you know, understand the basic phenomenon and process, disease process in the liver is the process of the liver cells kind of becoming overwhelmed and becoming inflamed and accumulating fat that hinders their process in functioning properly. All of the processes from, you know, of course, detoxification and cleansing and breaking down stuff that shouldn't be in the body, balancing hormones and whatnot. Also just the storage of glycogen, which is a, you know, storage form of glucose, the storage of amino acids and proteins, the breaking down of bilirubin and balancing blood cells and whatnot and hemoglobin. Of course, our immune function and blood clotting pathways. So many things are required, you know, optimal liver health and function.
Bile production, another huge one. When our liver gets sluggish, we can then see digestive issues because we don't have efficient bile production and secretion.
Yeah. So of course, like sluggishness of the liver is when all these processes kind of slow down due to the accumulation of fat in the liver that hinders proper liver cell function. And as that fat accumulates, of course, we get quote unquote fatty liver. And at some point, when X percentage of the liver is accumulated with fat as visualized on an ultrasound generally, then we have a diagnosis of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And by the way, all of this fatty liver, sluggish liver, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or maybe it is due to excessive alcohol intake, but more often than not, fatty liver disease is not alcoholism related, at least in today's day and age. But that's all reversible. We can heal and reverse and regenerate our liver. Our liver regenerates itself. And then as things progress, there's more of an inflammatory process that happens. Maybe you've heard of NASH or non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, which is when that fatty liver becomes more inflamed and there's more fibrosis that starts happening. And that's kind of the precursor, of course, to cirrhosis of the liver, which is scarring of the liver cells. And it's really only when the liver cells become scarred or cirrhotic that is said to be an irreversible process. So the good news is, you know, for most of us, we don't have cirrhotic livers. Even those who do have some amount of liver cirrhosis, the cells in their liver that have not yet become cirrhotic can be regenerated and repaired and healed. So this is really, again, hopefully an empowering message, one that allows you the information and hopefully some inspiration to turn things around with regard to what's happening in the liver, which incredibly happens pretty quickly. All we have to do is step number one of detoxification is stop putting toxins into the body, which of course, if you're listening to this, is you already know that is easier said than done. But we're going to talk about where all these toxins might be hiding and, you know, ways to focus on the practices daily to support liver regeneration, detoxification, and healing.
Right. Yeah. So when we talk about really mitigating exposure to environmental toxins, we like to bring forward this visual, this kind of metaphor of your body as this bucket or your liver and your detoxifying capacity as a bucket. And so we live life and, you know, we just are exposed to toxins everywhere, unfortunately, in our air, in our water, in our food, you know, products in our household, off-gassing, artificial fragrances, all sorts of sources of environmental toxins.
Yeah. And of course, there's some obvious ones like pollution and cigarette smoke, things that we can taste and smell. But there are more invisible things that, or maybe things like, you know, it's like your shower curtain. you know, you take a shower and it's like, you don't really, it's like, okay, I know that there are plastics in the shower curtain, but it's like, what can that be doing?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, when we're taking a shower every day, when we're drinking that glass of water from that tap every day, when we're doing these practices every day, back to that bucket, a metaphor, it's like things start accumulating in that bucket.
Exactly. You know, another example, you know, we're eating some fresh berries thinking that it's great for our health to be eating fresh berries. But if they've been conventionally grown, those are some of the most, you know, pesticide heavy foods that we could be putting in our body. And so this isn't like to fear monger or anything, but just to kind of explain some examples of how over time, even if we think we're living a healthy lifestyle, we can still be accumulating these toxins in our bucket.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the longer we live on this planet, the more exposure we have to toxins and the more we accumulate in this bucket. And, you know, our body is amazing at detoxifying. It really is. We have so many brilliant pathways that detoxify and eliminate mm-hmm. these toxins from the body. But when they get overwhelmed, essentially when the bucket starts filling up to the point of capacity and starts spilling over, mm-hmm. that's when we start to manifest symptoms that are related to these impaired detox pathways.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes what happens at the same time as when we're accumulating these toxins in our bucket is that our emunctory organs or our excretory organs at the same time are not working as efficiently. And we like to think of these excretory organs as these helpful holes or like a drain at the bottom of the bucket. So as we're living life and being exposed to toxins, we are excreting toxins at the same time through our bowels, through our urinary system, through our skin, and through our lungs. But, you know, if we don't have optimal digestive functioning, if we're a little constipated, if we're not hydrated and not excreting properly through our urinary system, you know, if we've got, if we're not sweating regularly, for example, these are all ways that we can slow down the excretory function and essentially accelerate the filling of that bucket.
Yeah. So when you hear people say, oh, yeah, your body just naturally detoxifies, there's nothing that you need to do to promote cleansing or detoxification in your body. That is completely 100% true. Absolutely. But only under the circumstances where everything is all the resources and the environment is maintained in that bucket that allows that stuff to flow. And put simply, you know, in our world today, more often than not, we've got an overabundance of things coming into the bucket and a deficiency of things that are flowing out of the bucket, leading to the overflow phenomenon, which is, you know, any number of chronic symptoms. And of course, it might be a diagnosis of some autoimmune condition. It might be just the accumulation of weight in the body. It might be high cholesterol numbers, skin conditions, back to that list of symptoms that are so common in our world today. And we think like, okay, it kind of came out of nowhere, but it didn't come out of nowhere. It came from the slow building and the slow overflowing effect of that bucket. So, of course, this brings up the question, you know, what can we do? And we can approach detoxification from two pathways, two places. And we must approach detoxification and our liver health from two places. And that's the stuff coming into the bucket and the stuff flowing out of the bucket. So step number one, obviously, if we want to avoid things that or avoid that bucket from overflowing, we want to make sure that things aren't flooding into our bucket without our understanding, without our knowledge. And this is, of course, just simply being mindful of what we're putting into our bodies, our food, of course, our air quality, the pollutants that we might be breathing in, the heavy metals, the off-gassing chemicals, the artificial fragrances, all those things that you talked about already, and any sort of contaminants in our water as well. You know, again, it's like hydration is important. We all know how important hydration is. But if we're hydrating optimally from a suboptimal water, like if we're getting enough of contaminated water, that's not going to be helpful. We want to be getting enough and actually a surplus of water from a clean, pure water source, one that's free from contaminants and one that's properly mineralized and energized and whatnot to support the detoxification processes. Because going back a step to really what is happening in that bucket, what is happening in that liver, that is the quote unquote detoxification pathway. It's really two steps. It's broken down into two phases of detoxification happening in the liver. And this is just the sciencey stuff, not too sciencey, but this is just kind of the basic science stuff of what liver detox really means. It's essentially the conversion of fat-soluble toxins, because those are the ones that tend to get stuck and stored in our body cells, mainly in our fat cells. The conversion of these fat-soluble toxins into water-soluble metabolites or molecules that can then be shuttled and flushed from our body, of course, through the bowels, through the kidneys, through the airways, and through the skin. And therefore, what we need is an aqueous environment, a water-based environment, a super hydrated environment for these compounds to successfully, efficiently flow through our body. So in a nutshell, like, detoxification doesn't happen if we're dehydrated, right? So we've got to have an abundance of water, but we also have to have an abundance of nutrients that fuel these detoxification pathways, phase one and phase two detox pathways, which, you know, some people say that they're kind of like two phases of the washing machine, like the spin cycle and the rinse cycle and the spin cycle or something like that. And
the wash and the rinse.
And that's, yeah, it's like getting the soap in there, but then more water to like rinse off the soap. And again, converting fat soluble stuff into water soluble molecules to be, you know, flushed from the body. So we need an abundance of nutrients and also antioxidants and all these vitamins and minerals. And there's lists of dozens and dozens and dozens. And of course, there's some popular ones like glutathione or N-acetylcysteine and, you know, sulforaphane and vitamin C and all these kind of things. But when it comes down to it, from a, you know, practical nutritional standpoint, it's all about nutrient density. When we consider any nutrient dense food, that is going to be supportive of liver health and detoxification. It's like, okay, well, yeah, you know, broccoli sprouts high in sulforaphane, or, you know, apples high in this, you know, glucuronate or whatever it is that, you know, supports this specific pathway. And we can get really reductionistic on our foods that quote unquote support liver health, but it's really just those nutrient dense whole plant foods.
Right, right. That's why whole food plant-based eating is the way to eat to support liver health. It really is the detoxifying diet, or the most detoxifying lifestyle.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is so because it's nutrient dense, like you said, but another really big piece of liver support is also focusing more on the carbohydrate rich foods and less on the fat rich foods. And that's because your liver cells, like every other cell in the body, require carbohydrates as their preferred source of fuel. And high fat diets are actually one of the risk factors that leads to fatty liver disease, that leads to sluggish liver.
I mean, it's built into the name, right? fatty liver disease. Where does that fat come from?
Right.
It comes from the fat that we're eating, and specifically, you know, tends to be the saturated fat that's found in oils and, you know, animal products and whatnot.
Right. When there's more energy that the liver has to put towards fat digestion, bile production, that's less energy taken away from detoxification and all of its other functions it's responsible for, which, by the way, we didn't even mention over 500 functions. Mm-hmm. But also when we have excessive fat intake, we store fat more readily in many places in the body, including the liver. So
our whole food plant-based, you know, nutritionally speaking, whole food plant-based is awesome, right? Yes. Especially when we're focusing on more of the nutrient-dense foods, less of the processed plant-based foods, right? Which are not generally technically in the whole food plant-based lifestyle. But of course, there's always room for yellow light foods. But when we're talking about like a cleanse, like the cleanses that we love doing at Alter Health, which we're taking a break from this fall because we're, you know, focusing on growing a baby and hopefully and having a baby in the next few days.
Oh, it's coming out soon.
Yeah, it's coming. There's only one way out. So yeah, it's due in, I guess, just over a week or so. Due, quote unquote, estimated, what do you call it?
The guest date.
Who knows? We'll see. It's born on his birthday, not when the doctor says.
Yes.
But anyways, you know, in addition, I was talking about a cleanse. So in addition to like whole food, plant-based, you know, focus on nutrient density, we're going to focus less on the yellow light processed plant-based foods, the organic, fresh, nutrient dense, hydrating whole plant foods. But another big important nutrient I guess it's a nutrient, and that's fiber. A lot of people focus on like water fast and juice fast to support cleansing pathways. And that can be great, you know, in the right context, but really the primary way that we're excreting and flushing literally toxins from our body is down the toilet. Specifically, number two is the primary mechanism, our biliary tract, our bowel function. That's the primary way that we're excreting toxins from our body. So we could be, should be, especially when we're on a cleanse, you know, running these detox pathways, we should be having, you know, 2, 3, 4 bowel movements per day. And the way to support that, you know, there's two helpful ingredients, right? Maybe three. One is fiber, of course. The other is water. And then movement, you know, a little bit of healthy movement, you know, physical activity to keep the bowels moving. So these are just some important factors into that cleansing lifestyle. And that's not to say that we always need to be in quote unquote like peak cleanse mode, but we love to bring our bodies into that peak cleanse state at least a few times a year, to really give our bodies a reset, to flush things, to flood our body with nutrients and create that environment for our body to regenerate and cleanse itself and heal itself. And another, just one more ingredient to that cleanse process is like being in a restorative state of the nervous system, right? In other words, stress also blocks our detoxification pathways. Just as we've talked about in the past, how stress or the sympathetic nervous system response blocks our digestive function. Part of our quote unquote digestive function is kind of our detoxification pathways that are happening in the liver. So the sympathetic stress response, we got to let that go. We got to let that go and allow our body to rest more. And what that might mean is, you know, scheduling more time in our day for more restorative activities and taking a little bit of a break, sleeping really well, of course. You know, these kind of things are really, really crucial for detoxification, you know, because, you know, put simply, like the cortisol and the stress hormones and the stress response, not only does that like shut off our liver detox pathway, our pathways, but also gives the liver another thing to process. Those stress hormones, the adrenaline, the cortisol, more hormones for the liver to process, which can exacerbate any underlying hormonal imbalance or, you know, suboptimal hormonal state.
Right. Yeah. So as we said, the fall cleanse, we're going to skip this year. But honestly, what is so much more important, and I hope you're picking up on this, is so much more important than doing, you know, a seasonal cleanse once or twice or maybe even four times a year, is to live a detoxifying lifestyle and practice these cleansing practices on a daily basis and having them woven into your life so that they're effortless.
Yeah.
And that's really what Thrive on Plants is all about, is helping to create those healthy habits that ultimately heal your body or support your body in healing itself, essentially, right? So yeah, if you want to learn more about Thrive on Plants, you can always head over to our website, www.altered.health. Anything else, Dr. Ben?
Well, it's funny because I feel like we kind of just scratched the surface whole liver conversation.
Oh, yes.
You know, another topic that often gets questioned when we're talking about liver health and detoxification are, you know, things like colonics or coffee enemas and these kind of things, which, you know, might be like higher, more intensive, invasive interventions. That's of course not to say that they don't have any place, but again, it's our day-to-day life that is really going to make the biggest difference. And then we like to say on top of our day-to-day life, there's kind of next level things in terms of herbs and hydrotherapy and, you know, colonics or enemas or whatever we're called to do. But it's building that strong foundation that's going to carry us into our healing and regenerative potential. So yeah, I think it's a good place to wrap up and just invite you, you know, little call to action if you're called to learn more, to take your detoxification pathways to the next level. For sure, consider the next cleanse, which will be happening in the beginning of 2023, I guess, which is just a couple few months away or so.
Right after the holiday season.
Yeah. But in addition to that, and yeah, of course, there's Thrive on Plants programs, or the Thrive on Plants program, which offers continuous education and experimentation and, you know, depth.
Experimentation?
Of, yeah, well, experiencing and experimenting.
Experiential learning.
Well, I like to think about, like, life is an experiment. You know, it's like we're trying it on. We're experimenting in our body and we're measuring things. And we're, of course, hopefully continuing to live in that kind of, from that objective kind of scientific standpoint, rather than just like, oh, do what the doctor says, because we're, you know, trying it on and we're going with our body's wisdom in an experimental and experiential sort of way. So yeah, that's what Thrive on Plants is all about. So head on over to www.alter.health to learn more.
All right, everyone. We'll see you Wednesday for Wisdom Wednesday, talking about the liver. Hope to see you there.
All right. Peace and love.